One of the things that hasn't been closed this season that my family enjoys doing is going for a hike. Nature is always open, and it's beautiful. That's one of the purposes of going for a hike, is just to enjoy God's creation. Helps you get some fresh air, get some exercise, and gives you a sense of accomplishment when you reach the summit or when you finish the hike. Well, our younger children don't always appreciate those finer aspects of the journey, so we might not yet be 5 minutes into the hike when they begin to ask, "Can someone carry me?" We say, "No, that would be a ride, not a hike." Or they say, "I want to go this way. We're going uphill. Let's stay in the flatlands." And we say, "No, you can't reach the summit by staying on the easy downhill grades." Or they might, when we finally get there 2 miles into the hike and enjoy the beautiful view, say, "Okay, I'm ready for the hike to be done now. Can we stop hiking?" Well, the problem with that is now we have to get back to the van, which is 2 miles away. We could stop the hike now, but we'd never get back to that van with the comfortable seats and the air conditioning and the ice water and the snacks and, yes, even a DVD player that our van has, the Promised Land for our kids. But you have to finish the journey to get there, and they have to realize in order to make it, they're going to have to follow the leader. Well, sometimes we don't enjoy following. We want to blaze our own trail. We want to stay where it's easy, or we want to take a shortcut and get to those benefits without experiencing the journey. And so in the Christian walk, Jesus said, "If anyone would be my disciple," Luke 9:23, "he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." We want to learn to be followers, and tonight's message is about following the Good Shepherd. We'll be in John chapter 10. If you have your Bible with you this evening, you can turn to John chapter 10, where Jesus, in a familiar parable, presents himself as the Good Shepherd. A shepherd is one who leads and guides, one who protects and provides. And that's the beauty of John 10 as it portrays Jesus, the Good Shepherd. The goal is to magnify Christ in our eyes and so that we would be in awe of his goodness. But there is a response on our part when we see Christ as a Good Shepherd. The appropriate response is then to follow. As sheep, we must follow. And in John 10, we'll see 10 reasons we can follow, or excuse me, four reasons tonight that we can follow the Good Shepherd. And number one, we follow because he is good. John chapter 10, beginning in verse 1, "Verily, verily," Jesus speaking, he says, "I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter," or the guard, the gatekeeper, "openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." There you go at the end of verse 3. He leads the sheep. And the end of verse 4, the sheep follow him. We want to make sure that we are following the Good Shepherd. He continues in verse 5, "And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them." As often happened, the disciples didn't understand the full meaning of the parable, and so Jesus explains, beginning in verse 7, and he says unto them again, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." So this is kind of a complex illustration. Jesus is represented as not only the Good Shepherd, he's also the door that gives access to the sheep into the sheepfold, to become a sheep, to become one of his sheep, to gain access to his pasture and to be under his protection. They must enter through Jesus Christ, the door. The Bible talks about the day of judgment as a time when God will separate between the sheep and the goats. And the sheep are those who know Christ, who are followers of him, who have become part of his flock. And though many in our culture would have us to believe that there are many ways to reach heaven, many ways to find peace in eternity. Jesus says that he is the singular door. He'll say chapters later in chapter 14 that no man can come to the Father but by him. And so you must be saved, and the only way to be saved is through Jesus Christ. His death on the cross, his burial and resurrection, that is the payment for our sin. If we will trust him and ask for forgiveness. And so verse 8, he says, all that ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. If you're not saved, you can enter in through Jesus, the door, and become one of his sheep today. And we follow because he is a good shepherd. He continues in verse 9, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. So we follow because the shepherd is good. He's not like the other leaders that we have the option of following. And as he says, those who came before him were thieves and robbers, those who didn't come through the gate, those who came to destroy and to steal. And probably what Jesus is referring to there is those who were false shepherds who came before him claiming to be the Messiah. There were many false messiahs through Israel's history, and particularly in the years leading up to Jesus' arrival and ministry, there were those who rose up and wanted to lead the Israelites against Roman oppression. Zealots who gained followers and wanted to overthrow Rome and set up an earthly temporal kingdom. Well, the problem with these leaders, for one, was that their focus was on what is earthly. And so as they came to the Israelite people and gathered them to a cause, it wasn't for the people's sake. It was for the leader's sake, and it wasn't for eternity's sake. It was for the sake of a temporal kingdom. Well, even so, in our lives, we face the decision between the thief and the robber and the good shepherd. We can follow the earthly messiahs, the false messiahs, and that is anyone, any incentive that would draw you into a temporal kingdom, cause you to focus on earthly things, a material gain. And we are tempted to follow as sheep. This is a good illustration that the Lord gives of himself as the good shepherd, of we his followers as sheep, because sheep, as you know, though maybe you haven't been around them much, you've heard descriptions as I have, that sheep aren't very bright, that they can be a difficult and frustrating animal to work with, because sheep will, like lemmings, follow whatever path they have their eyes set toward, even if it's a path into danger. They're hard to train, they're smelly, they are stubborn, and just pretty helpless against any harm. So we as people are ignorant, we are stubborn, we try to go our own way. Isaiah says, all we like sheep have gone astray, we've turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord has patience with us, he is a good shepherd, and unlike those who would try to lead us into their own cause and for their own benefit or to gain toward an earthly kingdom, the Lord has our best in mind. See, it's easy for us to get things backwards. We can be brainwashed. We can have the wool pulled over our eyes. When we start to look at the world's false front, the sham that tells us that if we will buy into earthly pursuits, that we will pour our energy into amassing wealth and gaining acclaim, being respected, being comfortable, having the trinkets, the gadgets, the pleasures of this world, that even God's children can invest ourselves into, but those, the devil, our flesh, the world, those who draw us into that, don't do it for our good. We're caused to believe that we'll have our best life if we follow our own pleasures, follow our dreams, and pursue our own desires. But the truth is that that life ends with emptiness, with frustration, regret, and with sorrow as we look back and see a life wasted with no value for eternity. That though it might have been successful by earthly standards, earthly things will pass away. But the life of following Jesus is different. Because unlike the thieves and robbers who come and seek followers for their own benefit, Jesus comes as the good shepherd, and he seeks his glory. He seeks glory for the Father, but in that is our best interest. In that is our well-being, that it, though not always an easy path, is the best path to follow the Lord. And so we follow because he is good. And with that, we see a second motivation. We follow because he gives abundant life. Verse 10, Jesus says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." See, a selfish leader wants his followers to lay down their lives for the cause, but is unwilling to risk harm to himself. A true leader, a good shepherd, sets an example and is the first to risk his own resources or well-being. See, we follow Jesus because he offers abundant life. But third, we follow because the shepherd surrenders his own life. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. Following Jesus doesn't mean that harm never comes our way, but it means that he will carry us through the harm, that he himself will bear the worst of the harm. And so we can say with the psalmist, as he reflects on the Lord as his shepherd in the beloved Psalm 23, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." He says, "Thou preparest a table for me in the presence of mine enemies." And so we see that following the good shepherd doesn't mean we're always in green pastures, doesn't mean we're always by still waters, it doesn't mean that we're always on an easy path. We'll often be in difficult situations. The valley of the shadow of death will often be in uncomfortable situations, a table in the presence of our enemies, but we can go there because Jesus is a good shepherd and he leads us, and as he leads us even through trials, he offers what only he can deliver, and that is abundant life. Not just life, but abundant life. And what do you do for a living? And do you like your job? Some people love their jobs, and that's great. Other people can't really stand their jobs, but they stick with it because it pays the bills, so they bear the burden and shoulder the load and carry on. And so if you ask those people, do you like your job? Do you enjoy your work? They'll say, well, it's a living. It's a living. And sometimes that's our attitude, our approach toward Christianity as well. Spiritually, it's a living, that we're following Jesus, and it's somewhat restrictive, but there's the promise of a spiritual payday someday, so we're hanging in there, we're soldiering on, we're climbing the hill, and it's a living. Well, with following Jesus, it can be just a living if we're trying to claim him and yet find pasture in the world's green fields. But the Lord intends for it to be much more than that. Not just life, but life more abundantly. See, followers of the Lord don't have to settle for anything less in this life or the next. God, through Christ, the Good Shepherd, offers life, and he offers it more abundantly. "My sheep hears my voice." My sheep hear my voice, he tells us. Voice recognition technology is a security measure we have available in our day. One of the unique features that God has given to each of us is the sound of our voice. our voice imprint, that you can hear someone's voice, even if you haven't spoke to them maybe in years, and recognize and know an identity that goes with that voice, part of the uniqueness that God has given to each one of us. And I remember in my early teen years, sitting under the preaching of evangelist John Getch, who had a great impact in my life in my younger years. And he gives the illustration of a time when he went to a sheep farm with a farmer, a shepherd. And at the top of a hill overlooking a flock of sheep, the shepherd told Dr. Getch, call the sheep. He said, I don't know how to call the sheep. He said, it's easy. You just shout, come sheep, those two words. And so Dr. Getch says he shouted so the sheep could hear, come sheep. None of them moved. He decided to try a little louder, and he called, come, sheep. Dr. Getch says, one ugly sheep lifted up his head, stared for a second as he chewed his grass, and then went back to his grazing. None of them moved. And then the shepherd, standing from the same distance, using the same words, but in his voice, at the same volume, shouted, come, sheep. And the sheep as one stopped their grazing and came toward the shepherd, because sheep know the voice of the shepherd. And Jesus' original audience could identify with that, as he says in verse 3, the sheep hear his voice. And at the end of verse 4, the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Do you know the Lord's voice today? Because he still, in a still small way, through the Holy Spirit, Jesus is in us, and he leads us through his voice, through his words today. And we can listen, or we can ignore. In Psalm 95, the psalmist writes, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Psalm 95, 7, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. See, we can hear his voice and harden our hearts, or we can hear his voice and follow. When he says to us in that still small voice, son, you haven't opened my word today, and I have instructions there for you so that I can guide you in this life, and you have the choice. You hear the shepherd's voice, are you going to follow? When he says, daughter, what I spoke to you through my word this morning, you're not following right now by your actions, by your words, your thoughts, by your inner spirit. My child, don't go the way that you are going, because that leads toward the brambles of sin, the cliff of iniquity. Don't take that course. It's for your danger. And the shepherd speaks to us, and we hear his voice, but will you follow? Will you follow, or will you be the one who looks up for a moment, acknowledges with lip service, and then continues to go his own way? Psalm 95 says, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. He gives the example of the children in the wilderness, the Israelite people, after being delivered from Egyptian bondage. And for 40 years, they wandered in the wilderness with the promise of green pastures, of still waters, a land that flowed with milk and honey, if they would but follow the pillar of cloud, the pillar of fire. But so often they complained and went astray and said, we are thirsty. Where's our water? Did you bring us out here to die? And when they were given water, we're hungry. Where's our food? And when they got food, we're sick of this manna. We want meat. And when they got meat, we missed the leeks and the onions in Egypt. We had it better there. Let's forsake the Lord. Let's forget Moses. Let's choose a new leader and go back. They didn't want to follow the Lord. And so there in Psalm 95, he swear in my wrath that they should not enter into his rest. See, we want to enter into the rest. We want the green pastures and the still waters, but the trick is that we have to follow the shepherd. And if you're not willing to follow him through the valley of the shadow of death, if you won't follow him in the presence of your enemies, if you won't listen to that voice and follow his promptings and be faithful, then don't expect the green pastures. Don't expect the still waters. He's a good shepherd. He leads the way lovingly for us. He guides, and with his rod and his staff, he protects. But we must follow. Don't harden your heart. We love the comforting words of Psalm 23, as we should, but sometimes we forget those words, leadeth. He leadeth me beside still waters. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness. For his name's sake, we must follow on those paths of righteousness. Finally, we follow because he knows us. The shepherd knows us. We don't follow an impersonal Lord, an impersonal guide who is focused only on the flock, but rather one who knows us. Verse 12 says, he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he's an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. As he speaks to Israel, that flock that was the focus of his attention, he speaks of a time when other sheep, sheep outside of the flock of Israel, sheep of the Gentiles, sheep of the church, would be added and combined so that he might have one flock of not just a group of sheep, but individuals whom he loves and cares for. A hireling doesn't care. If you or I were hired to take care of sheep for a week or two, we'd probably get awful sick of those smelly creatures. And we'd say, hey, this sheep, get back in line. Hey, sheep, stop going this way. Sheep, would you get over here? But not Jesus. He knows each sheep, and in fact, verse 3, he calleth his own sheep by name. What care? See, I don't care about the sheep because I perceive the gap between us in intellect and worth to be a large gap, yet much larger is the gap between me and the good shepherd. And though he condescends and gives grace and knows us and calls us by name and invites us to follow him, not as one who doesn't know us, not as one pursuing only his own interests, but one who knows us better than we know ourselves, one who knows what is best for us better than we know ourselves, and one who knows how to get us there when we are ignorant and stubborn and easily deceived and so quickly will go astray. So will you follow this shepherd so that you can say with the psalmist, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Follow the good shepherd because he is good, because he gives abundant life, because he lays down his own life, and because he knows you and he invites you. Come after him, and there we find abundant life.